Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Set My Heart on Fire, a novel by Izumi Suzuki. Translated by Helen O'Horan. Narrated by Cindy Kay. 1. This Bad Girl. Etsuko was standing at the entrance. She wore a mesh vest dyed red, green, and black. A pair of dark, slim Lee jeans. Chunky wedge sandals garnished with strange little Chinese tassels. With her arms crossed, glaring into space, she looked like an enraged bird of paradise. The image made me smirk. I only saw her first because I was wearing contact lenses. My eyes stung. I put on an appropriate expression for meeting a friend, adjusted my small satin bag, and climbed the wide stone steps.
"Hey, over here."
The look on her face softened in response. Her wide eyes stood out in the dusk. Her skin was lightly tanned. She uncrossed her arms and smiled at me.
"You cut your hair."
I stroked my unsettling head of thumbnail-length hair. "Well, I had nothing to do the other night." My hair was too fine for it. I used to be fair as a kid. It wouldn't stand up, just wrapped itself neatly around my scalp. I bought a razor cutter and did it myself. Didn't look in the mirror once till it was done. Managed to shape it by feel alone. Then I dyed it blonde, with some gray and green tints. "I like your earrings, too," she said, admiring my small silver stars. I twisted around from side to side to let her take me all in.
"Don't you think it's too short?"
I looked back into her eyes, chestnuts in their sockets.
"No, it really suits you. They call it skinhead, don't they? The new trend from London? Those radical homosexuals have them sometimes. You're ahead of the curve, Izumi. You've got style."
Crowds of girls were gathering. The group's called Diana. "This is only their first gig, you know," she said. "Looks like a decent turnout." Etsuko pushed on the heavy glass door. She scanned the room, spotted a colleague, smiled instantly. She stood there chatting like she'd done this 1,000 times before. Sometimes she let out a forced laugh. The guy, lanky and dressed up like a Chelsea rocker, cocked his head to one side and nodded along. His polka-dot neckerchief just screamed showbiz dickhead. His speech was full of industry jargon. He took the care to drawl his words. Nervy, I distanced myself from them. I couldn't get used to this kind of scene. Etsuko turned around. "All fine, let's go in." She looked relieved. Free admission for us. It was still early. We leaned against a wall and had a smoke by ourselves. "They're a proper rock and roll band from Kawasaki. You don't see that style much nowadays. Pompadours, ducktails, leather jackets. They got their first break playing Ginza now. Mickey Curtis called up the TV station before the show had even ended." I gave a vague nod. I didn't have a TV. Didn't listen to the radio. Didn't know anything about any trends out there. "Everyone's into folk at the moment, though. No real bands about. The groupies were all just dying for it. You can't scream at an acoustic guitar under a spotlight, can you? Then these Diana guys show up. Everyone was so ready for them." I played with a pendant displayed in the deep-cut neckline of my Art Deco dress. It carried an opal stone I'd bought in a half-price sale. Music news meant nothing to me. "What are you listening to these days?" Etsuko's question was good-natured. "This Roxy Music record? There's a woman with blue eyeshadow lying on satin bedsheets on the cover. The music sounds all sparky and loose, with all these jerky stops and starts, like a seizure."
"Ah, yes, nice, nice."
She dropped into music journo mode. "Plus, I found these green glass LPs in a secondhand record shop. Stunning guys on the covers. His beauty had such a hold on me that I ended up buying the records, and the music turned out to be good."
"You mean the kid with the small face and long neck? Freakishly long limbs? Abnormally skinny?"
I nodded. "That's Joel, the half-white guy I've been telling you about. You really hadn't seen him before?" I shook my head. "He's famous, darling.
she grabbed my arm firmly. More gorgeous than you could ever imagine, right? You see a lot of girlish pretty boys about, but he's got a real man's face, hasn't he? Firm, clear-cut features. I saw him again in my mind's eye. One glance and I'd never forget what he looked like. Which albums did you find? They're second and third. The rhythm and blues one and the rockier blues one. You can really tell he's mixed, can't you? I've never seen such big eyes. The white's practically like oceans around those greenish pupils of his. It's almost scary. Hollow, you know? So alien. Such an empty gaze. As if there's something wrong. He must be a total nut job. He was in a mental hospital, actually. Went a bit overboard sniffing glue. No surprise. He had a rep as a pretty boy in Yokohama, too. Apparently, gangs of girls used to ambush him at the gates after school. He had a fan base even before he'd started playing in bands. But photos have nothing on the real thing. Wait till you see how his coloring changes in person.
He changes color?
Depending on the light. He'll be as pale as a sheet one moment, olive-skinned the next. I saw him in Roppongi and got his autograph. He was so shy, so quiet. The kind of guy who can't say no if a girl accosts him. Etsuko was clued up about everything. I stopped watching TV as a teenager, so I only knew the major label group sounds bands. I remembered hearing Green Glass from a car radio sometime and thinking they were weird. The lyrics seemed rough for an era saturated with sweet, girlish songs by the Tigers or whoever. I met my Mary on a lonely, rain-filled morning. Meanwhile, Green Glass was singing about a short-term fling. This girl fooling around with an American soldier. The performance was tight and rich. And more than anything, fast. It had ferocious momentum. Band boys are way cooler down in Honmoku, she went on. The tempters barely cut it. Sure, you get gangs in Saitama, all kitted out in baggy Skaman trousers, too. But even the name Skaman is short for Yokosuka Mambo, right? Yokosuka, Yokohama. If you're after the latest music, they're the best places in Japan for it, with the American military bases and everything. The jukeboxes are all in English. Culturally, it's like a colony there. Before Japanese music mags even had a chance to pick up on what songs were hits overseas, Green Glass was already up there playing them on stage. Etsuko was getting carried away with her commentary. Group sounds was mostly influenced by British music, right? Almost as if there was some perfect affinity in the air. English fog married with Japanese humidity. But those guys suddenly came out with a very American sound.
Because of the U.S. base in Homoku?
That, but also their backgrounds. Apart from the frontman, they were all either foreign or mixed.
The vocalist is the short guy, right?
He's not short. Joel's just too tall. Apparently mixed kids got bullied even in Yokohama. People lobbed stones at them, stuff like that. Joel once said all he could remember from his childhood was crying in Harborview Park every day.
Little wonder. No hiding for a halfie. I picked at the skin on my lips.
But once he got a bit older, girls started going wild for the very same thing that got him bullied before. Either way, he's always been singled out. Tragic, isn't it?
Really?
For me, that's just the way of the world. But here was Etsuko, outraged. Would she even be interested if Joel wasn't so good-looking? I would have been his friend if I'd met him when I was a kid.
She seemed genuinely disappointed about missing her chance.
I would have kept quiet and stared. I mean, he's like a mannequin. It's spooky. I might have made fun of him myself. I was a late bloomer.
Etsuko craned her neck forward.
When was your first time?
18.
Earlier than me. She shook her head, annoyed. I guess she'd taken a quick glance back at her own sex life.
I stared intently at Etsuko's face. She resembled a gaudier Yoko Ono.
She certainly made a strong impression, but had zero sex appeal. Being different and less than pretty wasn't generally a good formula. Man, you know. Then she pulled herself together, took a drag on her cigarette, got back on topic. The important thing is that Green Glass were Japan's first blues band, When they played Paul Butterfield or Blues Project songs, their versions were way darker than the originals. Maybe they had a downright gloomy outlook on life, I smiled. Then the proggy stuff took over at the end. They played the outdoor concert hall in Ibiza. That's about as far as they kept up with what was happening abroad. They split up for good in 71. Joel had left by then, though. Etsuko knew everything. She'd started working as a journalist because she was obsessed with the Tigers and decided she wanted to talk on an equal footing with those kinds of people. She'd come all the way from Kyushu. It must have taken some guts. She saw a stumpy arrow on the wall. Nodding, she opened the soundproofed door. I followed her like I was retarded. She skirted along the wall and found some seats at the front. "There's fine," she said, pointing. "Go and sit down." I did as I was told. "They'll be starting soon. Stay here, won't you? Do you want a drink? Let me fetch something for you." Why was she being so nice? I shook my head like a child. "No, don't want anything." "Okay then, sit tight." Etsuko left through a side door. The curtain rose. Four band members in black leather jackets and trousers stood there, looking slightly stiff. Delighted squeals from the audience. Me? I missed my cue to shriek. I wasn't used to these places. They started up with energy. The sound was harsh and relentless. The crowd applauded. The band's gestures grew more dramatic with every number. Hands above heads, leaping, clapping. Some fans were up on their feet, too. Etsuko returned close to the last song. Several encores seemed likely, though. We both went out into the corridor before the lights went up. Etsuko sank languorously onto a sofa. She probably wanted to make it clear that we were in a different league to the manic fangirls leaving the show. She pressed a finger into her cheek, looking smug. They did all right, didn't they? I had no idea. This was the first time I'd seen them. I tried hard to come up with some original feedback. I was surprised how the bassist kept coming out to the front. I just assumed rhythm players kept going steadily in the background. He's the band leader, you know. He writes the songs. Bit of an exhibitionist. It's all for show, of course. Well, I suppose that's how they got their break. He grew up without his mom, apparently, in absolute poverty, so he swore he'd become famous. Fu, though, he's a gentle, quiet guy. Etsuko was dating Fu, the 19-year-old lead guitarist. So tonight was a success, but I guess that could mean we'll be seeing less of each other. She took her imported menthol cigarette out of her mouth and stared ahead. Before I could ask anything, she burst out, "It's fine. Men are just like that." Like what? I didn't know, or pretended not to know. She turned to face me. "You're 23, right?" "Yeah." "You'll understand when you're my age. Single at 27. People don't look at me. I can't just smile sweetly at men. You should remember this. You're too nice. You're selling yourself short. All you have to do is ignore them. Men are only passionate at the start." That wasn't my experience. I'd always be the one to get obsessed when I first met someone. Then he'd be ignited by my fire. He'd decide we should start going steady. And just about then, every time, a new man would magically appear. It's not nice to admit it, but then I'd have zero problem betraying the first one. I ran at a different tempo to most of my lovers. By no means was I flippant. I'd pour highly concentrated, strong, intense feelings into a man. I'm sure it looked very fervent and emotional. I think it is. But there's an affected quality to my affection. I'm passionate, of course. Passion is something that occurs naturally. Yet when the time comes, I make it occur artificially. That seems different to ordinary enthusiasm. Distorted. There's something forced and unnatural about it. I can cool it down at will. For me, there's little distance between loving and hating someone. You'd think I had extensive acting experience. My true self and my performed self, when I get them well mixed up, are indistinguishable from each other. I had to stop sprinting about, or no one would love me. But no one would love me anyway. No person would do me that favor. That's a given. Who could be honest with a monstrous woman like me? No man on this planet. He can't exist. That's a fact. I'd turn this idea into a strange little sort of conviction. Men are just their libidos. Etsuko was being assertive. I made an ambivalent sound in response. I never care, so long as he holds me. It's true, she insisted. I made an effort to listen to her opinions earnestly. I didn't pretend to agree, though. I knew I was far more experienced than her, both quantitatively and qualitatively. Simple as. Finishing her point, she stubbed out her cigarette. The filter crumpled into the white ash carpeting the metal ashtray. She stood up. Let's go to the green room. We went up and down some iron stairs. Etsuko took a breath outside the door. Her casual pose in place, she knocked. The room stank of sweat. The front man was bent over fixing his hair. Hey, he said, turning around. He left his silver comb by the mirror. He looked elderly here. Lots of wrinkles. The bottom half of his face hung funny and twisted. You're great. Etsuko reached out a hand. Cheers. The band leader shook her hand firmly. This is my friend, Izumi. Nice to meet you. He held out his hand to me and I hastily shook it. Etsuko introduced the other three members. I quickly sized them up, as per. The drummer was a shorty. The rhythm guitarist had an angular face. Etsuko's guy was nothing special, but he was slightly better than the rest of the lineup. I was able to rank boys by their looks so swiftly by then that it felt like a sort of arcane skill. They nodded and said the usual hellos. We'll be keeping an eye out for you, Etsuko spoke as cheerfully as she could, to salvage the situation. A self-encouragement. Everyone nodded again and said whatever they said. The night had thickened outside. Scatterings of neon lights softly stained the rich dark. It was the same night. The same night several times, all overlapping at once. A thousand nights in the same place at the same time, all distinct from one another. Each delineated, no relation whatsoever to any other, but also unaware, resonating among themselves. This single, particular night. As if an echo chamber effect pedal had been plugged into time. Like the one the Happenings Four use in their Alligator Boogaloo cover. Boogaloo-loo-loo-loo. It leaves a trembling, trailing tail, and the sound comes back, bit by bit. The reverb of this night, in this time, within this partition space, continues endlessly. It has absolutely no influence on other times. The sad echo of the loo-loo-loo-loo builds up to become water pressure, and my skin can hear it. Messy and clear, glib and shallow, an extremely artificial beauty. As if in a dream. Cold and curt enough to set my heart racing. Come to the cafe. I can't stay long, though. Etsuko seemed to be trying to soothe her nerves. She probably expected a warmer welcome in the dressing room. Is it about work? I pretended not to know. It's a meeting. At this time, honestly. I have to be up early tomorrow as well. Got 6 pages to write before noon. 2 interviews, then another meeting. She also had to follow around a rising songwriter who, rumor had it, was soon set to tie the knot. I'm free all the time, I said, smiling. Nice for some. She shot me a guarded look. It's always the same day, over and over. And here I am, going out chasing good times like a maniac. There's nothing else to do. I've got to have fun. I no longer have a choice. It's an obsessive compulsion. I'm uneasy, unsettled, unsteady. But I feel like it'd be even scarier if I stopped. It remains a mystery to me how you live. I do work 3 days a month, I grinned. It amazes me how calm you are about it. She honestly seemed to admire me. But the same night will continue on. Today is just yesterday continued. Tomorrow is just today continued. daybreaks, night falls, daybreaks. Night probably falls again. The little details differ, sure. But for the most part, everything is pretty much the same. And I feel neither more nor less sluggish today than I did last Thursday. I am sluggish, but still compelled to dance, provided there's some variety to the music. I'm trapped inside an invisible cage, you see. I can't leave it. I feel so hollow and futile, it makes me sick. It's easy, though. You're all right, you are. Etsuko's compliment sounded bitter. The windowed cafe was fitted out with an antique wood grain which had started to be popular. Etsuko ordered a coffee and lit up a cigarette out of habit. She took a drag, then suddenly grimaced. Ugh, no. Her voice was hoarse. My stomach's surprisingly okay, I told her. Mamie Blue was playing. This was a hit last year, wasn't it? I asked. Etsuko's mind seemed elsewhere. I went on. Don't Japanese people love poppy Western songs like In the Year 2525 and The Train? How could I spew out such nonsense? It just flows out of my mouth. As long as it has a beat, the meaning is secondary. The main concern is tempo and rhythm. Aside from that, it's just whatever comes out of my mouth. Our coffee and ice creams arrived. Vanilla fudge, I said. You keep me hanging on, Etsuko supplied. An American psych rock band and one of their best-known songs. They hardly played any original material. I guess they were like a Western group sounds band, not dissimilar to the Jaguars. Still, I liked their name. I prefer vanilla over chocolate or strawberry, after all. Why don't you do some modeling? I stopped doing that after 3 months, when I was 20. Which wasn't really a reason not to do it again. But I couldn't be bothered to explain further. I'd blithely leave things half-baked like that, so long as no one picked up on it. They say modeling isn't as easy as it looks, don't they? Once you actually try it. I hear it's quite tough work. Everyone loves saying that, to keep the profession sacred or something, I don't know. But let me tell you, it's the easiest fucking work out there. It's so lax, honestly. Well, you just had the knack then. Don't the guys harass you on jobs like that? God, no. I don't sleep with my business interests. I pick up men for that off the street. That's cool. Etsuko was gazing into her cup. What was cool? Was she trying to be bold and easy like me? What a frigid woman. Sorry to think it, but still. Frigid ones do have a certain personality. They come out with these catchphrases like, who gives a shit about men? They don't leave themselves any wiggle room. They're distant and indifferent. Stiff, rigid ways of thinking about things. Spend too long with a woman like that and you'll be shattered by the end of it. Me? I do give a shit. Maybe too much, but that's another issue. The waiter killing time at the counter changed the channel on the TV. A male singer screaming, go ahead. It was about a long-haired girl's heartbreak. The third and best-selling single by Green Glass. Either 1967 or 1968. Felt like eons ago. You know, the band didn't want to do this song because it sounded so old and fusty. Landy, the lead guitarist, he liked new stuff. He was the first person in Japan to get a fuzz box. Everyone was still on a roll from their debut, which is why it's so full-on. Landy, the blues guitarist from Chinatown? He's the best group sounds player, right? Right. There's Yamaguchi Fujio from the Dynamites, too. Though he only later suddenly got really good, after obsessing over Mike Bloomfield. Chinese Landy, well, he was a knockout from the start. Hard to forget that insistent guitar. It sticks like glue. He works at a Chinese restaurant now, apparently. Etsuko's tough woman stance only lets up a little when having chats like this. It was better before all the Ampo stuff. So showy, loud, and all over the place. What a boring time we're in now. Rock music's got so tame since the 70s started. More grievances. Still, although I wasn't sad about it myself, I did share her opinion. So I suddenly said, Grace Slick was so stunning. From Jefferson Airplane. Etsuko let her gaze wander upwards. Do you ever feel like you've aged really quickly? I feel like an old lady already. I leaned forward. I wondered whether it was just me who felt this, or if it was something about our era. Yes, I do. Etsuko nodded. Maybe because music's dropped the psychedelia.
That stuff did have a lot of youth about it. Well, I'm the older one, so I guess I gotta feel young like that for a little longer than you did.
Etsuko smiled faintly. Just 1 year longer, if we take 1970 as the cutoff. I was born in 1949, you see, and left home at 20. I'll make up for it, I said.
In that case, you're best off hanging out with Joel. If you could, that is. Of course, we can't really. I mean, he's a living embodiment of the late 60s. Probably the guy who most reflects the era. He's always been a big star. And I'm not just talking about his current actual fame. He's just always had that kind of personality. Once Green Glass made it, he couldn't be bothered anymore. He's always taken time off. Doesn't give a reason, just says, taking a day off today and naps at home. Won't come out unless the manager goes to him. Taking a day off today, isn't that great? Etsuko laughed and squeezed my hand. That's great. No other band would play with a member short, but they'd have someone stand in on bass and it'd be terrible. It sort of felt like he was defying us, like he was saying, you lot just don't get my art. At the time, I used to haunt the jazz cafes, hoping to run into him, so it hit me pretty hard.
Had he just given up?
He has now, probably, she said quietly.
Since when?
Since he was 19, I guess. Scary, isn't it? He turned into such a meek, quiet person. At that age. He's a year older than you. He used to wave these big knives about, you know, hurl his guitar at the audience. 3 months after their debut, the band were at the Nichigeki for the Western Carnival, and Joel played a bass solo that lasted a full 15 minutes. No one had seen anything like it, they were so shocked. The critics were all calling him a genius. He just shrugged and chewed his gum. That was probably the high point of his entire life, at 18 years old. He reached the top, and then it was all downhill from there. In terms of the music, yes, and his motivation. But their popularity had been flagging. Now he's become a legend.
Yes, of course. We had so many legendary people and places back then. We were talking in 1973. A certain person walking down a certain street would cause a scandal. An unbelievable time. I'm chasing after vanished fantasies. The beautiful, the flashy, the suave, the curious, the feel-good, anything. Be it fake or counterfeit or whatever. You okay for time? I asked.
I should go, Etsuko said, taking the bill. I'll pay. I invited you.
We waited for her change at the till.
Actually, she said, I just remembered. You know who, the lead guitarist from the band. He said he's coming over to mine tonight. He's broke. He needs some cash.
I finally made it back home. I was always shattered, but that day it was particularly bad. I thought I might collapse on the street. I threw myself on the bed and laid there motionless, like a crumpled rag. My breathing was agitated. Veins stood out around my temples. I could hear the blood thumping so hard it hurt. It even pulsed in my wrists, the backs of my knees, my hips. Blood flowing. I felt it clearly all over. My silky, smooth blood. Thin, empty blood. It wasn't thick enough. Probably because I never ate my greens. Not enough iron or vitamin E. My little heart was running flat out. The meds would kill me before long. Each night I gave myself up to those white pills, or into the arms of a man. I just wanted to be held by something, taken in. I couldn't tell what pleasure was anymore. At first you get high to feel good or check out. Then, once you're using regularly, it stops feeling good. Your brain can't check out. It doesn't get you there. But you don't learn. You keep taking it just to escape the withdrawal, to forget the chilling despair you feel when you sober up.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?